Thank you, worship team. Yeah, it's my own fault because I asked for this thing to be on the ground so I don't have to like crank that thing down. So it's wonderful to be with you all and see you all this morning. How's everybody doing? Yeah, it seems like it's been forever since I've been here. So it's
not,
you're back. I know that's what's really important for sure. Nice to see you. How's everybody's, seems like fall has finally arrived. How many people in here love the fall? Me too. How many people don't like the fall? Maybe I should ask. Anybody don't like fall? You don't like it?
I do.
A few people don't. I don't really like winter. It's super cold, but I love the fall feeling. I want to read to you this sermon that I wrote called Spiritual Contributors. That I want to talk about the difference between a spiritual consumer and a spiritual contributor this morning. There's a few scriptures I want to read. I want to read Romans 12 and Matthew chapter 5, if you want to turn there. But I'm going to start with John chapter 4, verse 31. John chapter 4, verse 31 through 34, it says this. It says, "Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, 'Rabbi, eat something,' he said to them. Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you know nothing about.' Then the disciples said to each other, 'Could someone have brought him food?' 'My food,' Jesus said, 'is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work.'" Now, the Lord, Jesus, when he was talking and interacting with his disciples, he often would use, like, just kind of tell them things and they had to figure it out. Like, they were always thinking. And they're like, "Rabbi, eat something." Hadn't eaten for a long time. And he's like, "I have food that you know nothing about." And they're thinking, "Where did you get food from?" Right? Like, if you ever go camping with the guys, you always bring some hidden food because you never know if you're going to eat enough. And then you bring out the candy bars and everybody's like, "Where did that come from?" This is what Jesus, they're thinking, okay, he's been hiding some good food. And he says, you know, gives them this little nugget of information that is so powerful. "My food," Jesus said, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." That Jesus was making this about his calling here on earth. He's like, "Yeah, I know you guys are talking about food and how important that is right now. We're all hungry. But the real reason I'm here, the real power is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work." And I think that, in a way, that is our jobs as well, as followers of Christ, is to do the will of him who sent you or called you and to finish his work here on earth. Now, we know until we're called up into heaven, his work is not finished on earth. But I feel like in each one of us individually that there's something that we're called to do. And that when we, hopefully when we die or are gathered up into heaven, God will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That we finished the work that he put before us, that he asked us to do. That we were spiritual contributors. That we didn't just take up space here on earth, but we lived our lives to the best of our abilities and we served him and his purposes with all of our strength. Now, being a spiritual contributor goes against our nature. Our nature, if you look at, especially with children, I've got all kinds of nieces and nephews and, you know, a whole bunch of two-year-olds running around. Two-year-olds usually aren't contributors. They're kind of consumers. They're selfish. All of us know that when we had kids, our first words, you know, they really learned to say was "mine," right? It's mine or "no." Because two-year-olds, you have to teach them to be contributors. They're kind of normally consumers when they're children. They just want. And sometimes we have adults that never really grew out of that, and we still know people in our lives who are still consumers and just want. Because this goes against our nature to be a giver, to be a contributor, to give of something we have or that we're good at to the world. And Jesus, his calling was to show love, not natural, to be a contributor, not natural, to go against what the world says and make a difference in this world. Now, marketing, everybody listens to the news or watches TV or listens to the radio, watches movies, watching the football game. The Yankees won last night. Yay for us, like two Yankees fans in here. Marketing has figured out that we're consumers. They encourage us to be consumers because that's how marketing sells, is we buy their stuff and think it's going to make our life better. And so I've noticed that over the years, marketing, they connect being a consumer to finding happiness. that if you just drive a Mercedes-Benz, then your life will, you'll be a cut above the rest. They're not only they try to market that you want this thing, but they try to market that you need it to be happy. If you don't have the new iPhone 16 Pro, then you're not going to be happy. If you don't, that's how marketing works. In fact, some of the marketing is so good that if I tell you their slogan, you probably know what they're selling. So let's try this for a second. If you know, you can just call out what this is marketing. The happiest place on earth, Disney. That is their marketing slogan. You hear those words and you're like, Disney World, it's got to be the happiest place on earth. And if you've been there with kids, it's not. They lied to you. But you think in your mind it's the happiest place on earth. Okay, how about this one? It's everywhere you want to be. Anybody know that? Visa. You guys aren't credit card people. That's good. That's good in here, right? Or how about this one? Protect this house. Anybody know that? You know that? What is it? Under Armour. That's for sure. Save money, live better. Walmart, you're right. I'm loving it. You guys know this one. McDonald's, that's right. Have it your way. Burger King. Just do it. Nike. Finger looking good? KFC. Taste the rainbow. Skittles, that's right. Good to the last drop. Yeah, Maxwell House Coffee. Or how about this is the last one. What's in your wallet? You're right. You guys are good at this. They connect the happiest place on earth to buying $300 a person Disney tickets. And that you'll be happy there. They connect their marketing ideas to being happy and living life and the best food or the best that you need this product. It's creative. It's smart. It works because we can think of those things without even thinking of the brand. We're like, oh, wow, yeah, that's what that means, those words. They've, you know, pirated those words from us, and we're like, okay, that's, you know, doing, you know, just do it means Nike, that I can do anything in the world if I have a Nike t-shirt on. And it's smart, but it kind of goes with our culture of being consumers. That just, it's constant in your life throughout all of the things that we see and do every day, these little slogans and this little push to consume, that if you buy the right thing and drive the right thing and look the right way, then you're going to be happy. But we all know that true happiness comes from fulfilling what Christ has created us and put us on earth for. And that true happiness, sometimes we have to say, okay, if I'm a consumer in the real world, and we all have to drive something and wear something and pay for stuff, like, it's okay to buy things. But sometimes when you get engrossed in that so much, we think that's how we should do church too. That we're a spiritual consumer at church, and it is a big difference in church. And my church in Hollowell, when we started growing, we had so many people come visit. And it was interesting to see the difference. There are people that would come in and say, oh my gosh, God is moving, how can I help? And there'd be people who'd come in and say, I want to interview you and know what your children's program is and what you have for, you know, home groups and how, you know, what's the best donuts that you have. And they're looking for, like, what can I do for the church, but, or walk into a church and say, how do I fit in? How can I help? But walk into a church and say, how can they make my life better? But being a part of the movement of Christ, the ecclesia, isn't about finding a church family that meets all your needs. It's about finding a church family where we can serve and use our gifts and make a difference for Christ. I went to California. I grew up in Maine, and I went to Calvary Four Square Church in Gardner. That's where my wife went. Well, she wasn't my wife then, but so my girlfriend went. I went there for most of my life, and then I find myself in California, and we have to find a church because there's lots of things you have to do to graduate in your own church. And so we spent the first like semester trying out other churches, and there was so many like churches like 20,000 people and startup churches of 20 people. And so I didn't know how to find a church, and so I told my wife, I'm like, how about we choose the church that has the best donuts? Because every church has donuts in California, it's like a thing. You have donuts and coffee in the entranceway, and I'm like, let's just choose the church that has the best donuts. And she's like, no, we're not doing that. We're going to find the church that we can serve at. And we did. We found a church we could serve at, and it was great. But there's so many, it's so easy to get into, like, what can you give me? Like, what can you give me where That is the wrong way to think of church, because the church isn't a building or organization, as we've said. It's a movement. And it's about using me and that I'm the church. And how can I make a difference? And I feel like a church that does ministry right, that most of the people have that idea. That it's not about what's the coolest church to go to and what can they fill, how can they fulfill all my needs, but it's about, hey, what church could I go to that I could find a way to use my gifts? That I could find a way to get filled up, and then when I go out, I'm the church everywhere I go. Like, what's that church look like? Your gifts are for God's church. God calls you to serve in his church. And we've talked about this a few weeks ago in a series, but how did Christ go from the movement we see in the New Testament, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and Romans, and how does church get from that type of a church to institution and building and consumer church? And we've said it before, in 313 AD, Constantine the Great became a Christian, and they legalized freedom of religion, and he became a Christian, and so now it's cool to be a Christian. And the Roman powerful people are like, okay, if we're going to be a Christian, we're not going to meet in people's homes. Let's make this powerful and spectacular. Let's build huge buildings. Let's find out where saints died and Jesus did the Sermon on the Mount and miracles happened. Let's build big, huge buildings and monuments there, and let's make church bigger. And there were some good things came out of that. You know, a lot of money flowed in. They could reach more people, and you could have a place for people to gather. But somewhere along the lines, things started to change to, like, consumerism and not contributing. Let me read to you Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve him well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouragement, encourage others. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. If you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. My question for us would be, like, what is your gift or gifts? Is it serving or teaching, encouraging, giving, leading? Is it kindness, hospitality? Is it generosity? Like, what is, when you look at yourself and think about you and how God's created you, what does that gift look like? Is it giving to, you know, is it missions? Is it, you know, our local missions? Is it the homeless community? What does our gift look like? And then when you go to a church, is how can I support that gift? How can I make a difference? If God is calling me and in me, we're all different. Like, some of us really want to serve. We don't want to be up front. We don't want people to notice. We just want to serve in the background. That's how we give. And some people, we're teachers, and we need to teach. We need to lead. None of those gifts are bad or better than the other. But what does your little ministry look like? If you're the church, and you are an individual, and you're a part of something that's bigger called the church, but you are a representation of the church wherever you go, then what does that church look like, your individual church? Is it just about, are you just like a consumer, or are you able to be a contributor as a representation of Christ throughout this world? Because God calls us to serve his church. Matthew 15, verses 14 through 16 is a well-known scripture, but it says this. Chapter 5, verse 14 and 16. It says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So I'd ask us all, what is our light? That we're given a light. And I don't believe this scripture just means that the light of the world is the fact that we're saved. It means that to an extent. But I think it almost means that what is your personal light? Like, what is, yes, we're all saved. We're all shining the Christ. But if you're a church and you're the representation of the church, what are you called to do? How are you called? How does your light shine? Does it shine with encouragement? Does it shine with, you know, with prayer? Some people are just prayer warriors. Are you generous? Are you hospitable? And what does that look like in the church world? I spent a while trying to find, there's so many spiritual tests online. If you go online, you can look up Google, like, what is my spiritual gifts or what are spiritual tests? And I tried to find one. I took a few of them, tried to find one that was like short, because a lot of them are like 128 questions. And I'm still looking. When I find one, I'm going to let you guys know, because there's one that I took in college that was 20 questions, and I was going to recommend everybody that one, but I could not for the life of me find it. But if you have 10 minutes, go online and take one of those spiritual tests. If you don't know, like most of us probably have an idea. Leadership's one of them, preaching's one of them, encouraging is probably my top one, that I love to encourage people. That's what I want to do. And I think for me, it's easy to use that gift outside of this church, is to encourage people wherever they're at, to find a way to lift them up, to make them feel better, to see the gifts God's giving them. I love to encourage people. And so what are your gifts, and how does that look in this world? Because I want us as a church, and I think our church does this really well, I don't want us to be consumers, but I want us to be contributors. And I think that a lot of people in here are contributors. But it's really, for those of us, of you who are, it's great to be reminded, but it's also powerful to, when you're new to church and we're growing in church, how do I contribute? I don't want to just consume. And everybody, there's a time period where you do consume. I've told people for years, they've been giving and contributing forever, like you need to step back for a little bit, take a few months and just let God feed you. Just let God feed you. You're recovering from some things, you're going through some things. You know, I think there are times in everybody's personal walk where it's okay to step back and let God feed you, encourage you. But once you get back up and encouraged and you get strengthened, it's time to go out and start to give, to start to make a difference in people's lives. So what is your light? Acts chapter 4, verse 33 says, God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. I think there was a time in the church world where the church functioned so much better than the government functioned, that there really, in their communities, there wasn't so many needy and poor and broken people. The church functioned in a way as the government tries to and fulfills needs of those around us. And we see so many times in Acts the church working in a way where there wasn't in their communities starving people or homeless people that didn't have a place to stay or widows who didn't have support and people, because the church worked as it was called to work, and everybody gave their gifts, and they shared everything they had, and they did life in a way that we've probably never seen and never thought could be possible, because people truly lived out their gifts. I remember I've told you a few times that we had a church softball league, and this guy that was a few years older than me heard about this church softball league, and he started attending, and he started playing on our softball team. His name was Noel. And Noel, he was really well known. He was a girls' baseball coach or softball. He was a girls' softball coach. Everybody knew his name. I didn't know who he was, but a lot of people knew him because he was an amazing coach. And everybody's like, I can't believe Noel came to your game. And then Noel came to church. I can't believe Noel came to your church. And I remember eventually I'm like, why? Why is this so hard to believe? And they're like, because that guy is like the most radical person, like lived hard and, you know, just lived hardcore his whole life and had nothing to do with God ever. And I'm like, well, you know, God's working on him. And our church came around him and supported him. And Noel became a Christian and Noel got baptized. And I had Noel give his testimony in church. And he gave his testimony, and his mom, who wasn't a Christian either, came and she sat in the back row and she like just bawled because she couldn't believe that her son had grown so much. And Noel came, you know, a few years later, and this wasn't just because of me, it was because of the softball team, and he was going through things, and he had counselors supporting him and people loving on him, and just the church worked in that way as it should. And Noel came to me a few years later and said he was diagnosed with ALS, and he passed away about 6 months ago. And he, even in his ALS, and that's a terrible, terrible disease, that I was at his posts were about pray for ALS, but his posts were still centered on Christ. His faith still, when he was in his last days of ALS, was like, I can't wait to see what God has in store. That he really, really, truly got it and transformed his life. And I didn't spend all that much time with him. It was the guys in the softball team, inviting him to life groups, inviting him over for dinner, encouraging him. That truly, truly, people powerfully worked and used their gifts in a church world, but not in a church setting. And it was powerful. It's how the church should be. I see a church where, as we continue to grow, where people give more than they receive. A church where people serve more than they're served. Where people love more than they're loved. People are passionate about reaching the next generation. Where we don't judge people who do not have Christ, but we love them into the family of God. Where people use gifts in the church to equip the body of Christ. And where we use our gifts as a church to be the light of the world. So as I close, what is your light? And where can you use it to be the church? Where can you use you and who God's created you to be to run the race he set before you and be a contributor to the ecclesia, the movement of Christ? Because I feel like that is where true happiness is found. When we give of our gifts to God's people, that's truly the most fulfilling thing that we could do in our life. And marketing and consumerism out there can say, no, you need to drive this or eat this or do this to be happy. But we church people know that to truly find peace and happiness comes from walking the race God, or running the race God set before you, about giving who you are to God's people. Amen? Amen. Amen. Please stand with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. How encouraging and powerful it can be every day in our life. And Lord, I pray that as we listen to your word and your that you would convict us where we need to be convicted, Lord. If we need to step it up in an area of our life, we would step it up. And Lord, help us to be encouraged to keep running that race. Sometimes we feel like nobody notices, nobody knows. But Lord, you notice. And you have a job for all of us to do. Lord, I pray that this week, that if anybody in our midst doesn't know some of the gifts you've given us, Lord, that you'd make that clear. That you'd help us to know the true gifts that we have and who we lean to, Lord, how we can benefit the body of Christ. And Lord, help us to learn to give of ourselves, to make a difference in people's lives, to pray for people and bless people, to encourage them. Lift them up, serve them. Because, Lord, that is where true peace and happiness comes from. That is where the reward of eternal life in heaven will be glorious, when we give ourselves to this movement that we call the church. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.